You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 16 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at the 3-0 win over Everton. We'll be discussing your emails and catching up with the latest result for the under-18s. And we'll be previewing Besiktas at home, as well as Portsmouth away.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to the 16th episode of the RedCafe.net podcast. I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Dan, how are you this week?
Yeah, I'm all right, Steve. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all good. Dov, you all good?
Yeah, I'm not bad. A bit chilly, but apart from that, very, very well.
Fantastic stuff. Well, guys, we'll kick off the show as we always do, looking at the most recent match, which was, of course, the excellent 3-0 win over Everton. Dov, I'd say dominance was the key word, really. I mean, if you look at the possession, shots, and of course, the thing that matters, the scoreline, we were pretty dominant. And with Chelsea, with that thumping 4-0 win as well, it was important that we did get the win. And it was pretty comprehensive in the end.
Yeah, just like talking about going back to last week, yeah, we interviewed Bill from Toffee Talk, and he pretty much conceded we were going to win, and win by a quite large margin. And I think David Moyes was pretty much thinking the same. It was quite a defensive formation he set out, and I think we huffed and puffed for a little bit, but then Darren Fletcher produced what could only be described as a moment of magic, and it'll probably never ever do that again.
Come on, Doc, just answer me this question. I mean, some time ago, obviously now you view him as an absolutely brilliant player, but you used to question whether he was quite good enough. So did you really think that Fletcher was capable of something like that?
No. In a word, not in a million years. The thing is, like, after I said that Fletcher was rubbish, he's pretty much been fantastic since the week after I said that. If people go back and listen to previous shows, they'll see that is the case. I've got to give credit to the boy. I mean, he puts in 100% effort every game. He dominated like the midfield against Everton. And we had, obviously, Jack Rodwell, who has been linked with us, and Fletcher just stomped all over him. It was great to see.
Well, we'll bring up an email, actually. I was going to mention it a bit later on in the show, but we may as well discuss it now while we're on the topic. Dan, Ed Gillat, he said that, well, there's no doubt really now that Fletcher is world class. And after that latest performance, it just shows that he's got everything. And he's talked about even that Fletcher should be now the main candidate for the captain's armband as well. What do you think about that one?
He's been at the club long enough to know it inside out. Last few seasons, he's coming strong. He is a pretty improved player. I don't mind him as a captain. He's got drive, he's got ability. Yeah, he'd be a good candidate. But speaking to a guy at work today, and we were having this conversation, I said, Fletcher's probably becoming world class now. He just shot me down and said, no, what is he actually good at? And actually, when I thought about it, there's nothing that he specialises in, apart from, running
just
around
the engine. Desire.
There's not, I mean, his passing, we're comparing it to Carrick and stuff, and I think, Carrick, in terms of, actual ability, is probably a better player, but I don't know, there's something about Fletcher that just endears him to fans. Is it just hard work and lack of ability that's made up with the hard work? I don't know, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, he's obviously a quality player, I'm not questioning that whatsoever, but there's nothing that really stands out for me that makes him, world class.
And Dan, you were, some time ago, when we discussed who we thought the next captain would be, I mean, your vote was heavily on Rio Ferdinand. I mean, with what's happened to Ferdinand this season, the injuries and the lack of form, I guess that's your opinion changed.
If he can prove his fitness, there's no reason why he can't captain United. I just think that we need somebody else other than Gary Neville, because he doesn't play enough for me for being captain. I know Rio's not played much this season. That's what I mean. If he gets his fitness sorted out, I'm sure he'll play, virtually every game. But with Gary Neville, I can't see him getting back to that level. I know captaincy goes a lot more than off, on the field. But I think we need someone to be a proper captain, proper leader on the pitch.
Fair enough, and I totally agree with you. And Dov, well, arguably man of the match was Patrice Evra, bombing down the left. Absolutely superb. I mean, when you look back, when he first joined the club, him and the Nemanja Vidic, I mean, at the start, you probably looked at Evra and thought, is this guy really good enough to play for Manchester United? And he's gone on to arguably become, well, the best left-back in the world, you could say.
I would completely agree with you, Stephen. I think he is the best left-back in the world. I don't know any, I can't think of any that are better. Possibly even the best full-back in the world. I mean, there are a couple of other candidates, but I mean, he's definitely up there. He's sort of, when he came to the club, it reminds me a lot of when Michael Silvestri came to the club, sort of came from a real big European team, was pretty much horrendous in his first sort of few months, and then sort of developed into a key player. But I would say Evra's more key than Silvestri was. But yeah, I think he's fantastic, and he's good defensively, and even better going forward. I mean, like, you can't give him higher praise. He's so skillful. His runs and his crossing and his final ball are just fantastic.
And Dan, I hate to go back to it every show, but we're going to have to do it again. Nani, not even in the squad, once again. I mean, despite, well, I read he was absolutely superb for Portugal and arguably their match winner to beat Bosnia in the World Cup playoff, of course. I mean, where next for Nani? Is that it in January? Will Ferguson get rid of him, cut his losses, or... I just don't know what there is to say about Nani. I mean, not in the squad again. There's not a lot you can say, is there?
I wouldn't say he'll be sold in January. I think we'll give him to the end of the season. You never know how important he could become. Against Portugal, for Portugal, he was one of their standout players, and to not even be involved, it's quite surprising, really. Especially with Gabriel Obertan as well. Nani must get a bit annoyed at the fact that, you know, he's getting a lot more opportunities. But I reckon he could do with a few games in the reserves. Just get his confidence up and, you know, see where he goes from there. But I don't understand why he's never picked for the reserves.
Would that get his confidence up, though, Dan? I mean,
is his performance.
Wait a minute. I mean, so yeah, if it goes into reserves, like, that's basically Ferguson saying, oh, well, you're not good enough for the first team. Go and play in there for a little bit and then come back.
That's not. It's about. I mean, Anderson, this season went in the reserves, didn't he, for a few games?
Yeah, but Dan, think about Nani's character. I mean, is he the sort of player that's going to accept that? I need to pull my socks up and I need to perform in the reserves.
Well, he should do it. So he shouldn't be at the club like United if he can't accept that he's not playing well enough.
Well,
I mean, reserves football is ideal just for a few games, just to sort of get your performance level up, you know, and just keep your match fitness up to scratch for when you are needed. If he doesn't accept it, then he deserves to go. But if you're honest with you know, you've got a contract with Manchester United. If you don't want to play for the reserves, then you don't want to be at the club, do you?
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Daniel Lang. He's also got in touch from New South Wales in Australia. Dan, I'll direct this question to you. Next United manager, I mean, we've had this debate long ago in the past, and we talked about David Moyes. I'm sure Steve Bruce was mentioned, Jose Mourinho. Laurent Blanc, we also talked about him as well, and Daniel Lang's pretty sure that he's got the credentials to be the next United manager. Dan, I'll give you some brief stats. Blanc's won the French Manager of the Year in his first season with Bordeaux, where he led them to second in the French league. And then in the 2008-2009 season, last season, he won the title, of course, for Bordeaux and also the French League Cup as well. And you look at the stats at the moment, Bordeaux, I think it's 13 games into the Ligue 1 season. They're currently second in the league and Champions League as well. They're in a group, you could call it a group of death, Group A. They've got Juventus and Bayern in the same group and they're top that group. I think they're 2 points ahead of Juventus. So, He's certainly got the credentials, isn't he? But is he the right man for the United job?
I'm not too sure. I mean, I've not seen much of his his management career. He was a great player, of course, and he looks like the type who's fairly educated and knows what he's talking about and knows what he's doing. Obviously, being a World Cup winner, etc., I think he'll command a lot of respect. Obviously, an ex-United player as well. I think he'd be an ideal candidate. Whether or not he's had enough experience at the top level to take on a club like United, I'm not too sure. But unless, you know, when Ferguson does finally retire, it depends really who's the hot topic, doesn't it, really? There's no reason why, if he doesn't carry on this run he's on with Bordeaux, that there's no reason why he can't be a manager at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I think, like what you say there, Dan, it depends on who's about. Because I know Inter have actually looked at him. Because Jose Mourinho's things flying around there. He's not quite settled in Italy. And also, as the France manager as well, I mean, he's played for Inter as well, and obviously being French. So there's a lot of other teams looking at him too. So he's quite a hot property throughout Europe. So from what I've seen, he seems like a pretty decent manager. Although I would like him to get another couple of jobs under his belt before he would take the United job if he was to get it.
Fair enough. Well, it's time to look at the reserves review now, and it's under-18s review, Dov. So... bring us up to speed with the latest result for the youngsters.
I know the last few reserves reviews and stuff like that, they've been pretty downbeat and quite depressing, to be honest. But I have some good news. The Academy played on the 21st against Liverpool's under-18 side, and they got a 3-1 victory away, which was fantastic. It was a great result, and a great performance as well. And the star of the show was Will Keane, who we've mentioned many times before on reserves review. I'll just go through the goals. It was 3-1 to United. Will Keane started. He started off the scoring on the 16th minute. It was Nicky Adjose, sort of left wing cross. Keane, this was a great first touch. So he brought the ball down quite delicately, and then he's surrounded by Liverpool defenders. So a bit of good footwork from him, got some space, and then curled his shot into the far corner. A great, great goal. Then we went 2-0 up. Paul Pogba, who was caught in a bit of controversy earlier in the season. He was in midfield, sort of turned one of the players, passed it to Keane, who then sort of set Adjose on his way through the left-hand side. He then raced into the box and then smashed a left-foot shot into the top corner, and that was 2-0. Then in the 75th minute, Will Keane, made it 3-0. And basically, it was a bit of rubbish defending from Liverpool. And then basically, he just sort of got the ball near the edge of the box, sort of fired it through the defender's legs into the bottom corner. And that was 3-0. United were commanding throughout the game. Only sort of blot, shall we say, on the copybook was Adam Pepper scored for Liverpool. It was a free kick, so made his way through a number of bodies in the box. So a couple of deflections as well. And then beat Conor Devlin, who's a United goal. It's an unfortunate goal to lose, but to be fair, on the day, we were head and shoulders above Liverpool, which was, it was great to see. And that's it. United Academy, the under-18s, they're sort of chasing Blackburn in the Academy Group C. And obviously, they've got the Youth Cup tie against Birmingham to look forward to at the beginning of December as well. So things are looking good for Paul McGuinness's side as well. So good news to report from there.
Great stuff. Always good to hear about a win for the under-18s. And I'm sure we'll get Mr. Mujak on the show in the next couple of weeks or so to discuss some more about the youngsters. Well, let's talk about Cabbage and Player of the Week now before we move on to Dov's Legends profile. Dan, who's your standout Player of the Week for this week?
I'm going to go with, I think, Darren Fletcher. I think his performance against Everton was pretty phenomenal, really. I nearly went with Michael Owen. I thought that his performance was decent against Everton, but he obviously didn't score and do anything special, but... No, Darren Fletcher for me. What about you, Steve?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I was going to give Michael Owen Cabbage for this week.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he was. He had a couple of chances, didn't take them, and I just thought it's those sort of games that Owen really needs to be scoring if he wants to stake a claim.
No, I just thought that his overall performance, his link-up play and things like that, his movement was pretty special. But he didn't, like you say, he didn't convert his chances that he had. But no, I thought he played very well. He looks well with good with Rooney as well.
That's fair enough. Well, in terms of my player of the week, I'm going to give it to Evra. I alluded to it a lot earlier in the show, saying that I thought Evra was absolutely superb and one of the best left-backs in the world. So, yeah, I thought he was really good against Everton. Dob?
I'm going with you, Steve. Evra, I thought it was great. Lucas Neal didn't have a chance against him. Cahill was against him as well, sort of pegged him back and obviously got the cross for Fletcher's great goal. So, yeah, fantastic from Patrice.
Okay, Dan, well, I gave my Cabbage to Michael Owen, so who are you going to give it to?
I can't really think of anyone. Again, I thought that Wayne Rooney wasn't exactly brilliant against Everton. I think really he underperformed. So I think I'm going to go with Wayne Rooney, actually.
Dob?
Well, I'm actually going to agree with you, Steve, as well. I was going to give it to Michael. Well, I'm going to give it to Michael Owen. For kind of the opposite reasons that Dan thought he was good, I thought, like, linking up, he wasn't really on the same wavelength as sort of Rooney.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of times where he got in Giggsy's way and he didn't get to convert the chances. It seems like he's taken an extra touch, whereas before he'd maybe just have a shot. And he didn't look on the same level as everybody else. So.
Okay, well, Dov, we'll bring you back with your Legends profile now and then we'll move on to preview the next games.
Well, Steve, it is Legends profile time, and we have a player of the same nationality as myself, is Brian John McClure, or also known as Chalky to some of his famous players, or some of his sort of teammates. I do apologise. Right, we'll start. He was a forward, had 11 years at United, and played for Celtic and Motherwell as well. And we'll go for his nickname first. He was called Chalky because his last name McClure, rhymed with a delicacy, chocolate eclair. So there you go. Simple but effective. He began his career at Aston Villa after they left school in 1982. One season there, never played a competitive match, and then went back up to Scotland. Signed for Motherwell, scored 15 goals in two seasons, and then Celtic sort of took him to Glasgow, a £100,000 fee, and played four seasons with them. 145 appearances, 99 goals. And in the 86-87 season, it was Scottish Football Writers Player of the Year, the Players Player of the Year. Scored 35 goals in 44 appearances, so quite a fantastic season. But in July 1987, Manchester United snapped him up, obviously caught the eye of Alex Ferguson. The fee was reported to be, at the time, £2 million, but we managed to get it down to £850,000. At 11 years at Old Trafford, he made 471 appearances, scored 127 goals. But obviously, during his later years, he didn't really play so much. Just that's where I remember him the most, so during the late years, sort of late 90s. But he also had a column in the Manchester United magazine called Chalky's Diary. I don't know if any of you remember that.
Yep.
you do, Dan? Did you enjoy it?
It was alright, yeah. It wasn't too bad.
Good stuff. In his first season for us, he scored 24 league goals, and that made him the first United player to score more than 20 goals in a season, the last one being George Best in the 1968 season. He was also on the winning side in the 1-0 win over Crystal Palace in the Cup Final replay in 1990. So it was sort of maybe started off this period of success that we're in just now. He also scored a winning goal in the 1991 Super Cup victory over Red Star Belgrade. But he was also involved in a little bit of controversy in his career when his reaction to a late challenge by Nigel Winterburn, he just started off as kicking him in the back as he was sort of on the ground, and this sparked a massive brawl and sort of started a great rivalry with Arsenal that sort of goes on to this day. His international career, he won 30 caps for my home country, but only scored two goals, so not really the best. Played in the 1992 European Championship, scored one goal, and his final national appearance was in 1993, so I think maybe for the international side he could have sort of gave a lot more, but wasn't to be for him. Again, going back to United, in the 1992 League Cup Final he scored the only goal of the game against Nottingham Forest, and scored in the Cup Final in 1994 when we hammered Chelsea 4-0. Another thing people might remember him for was when Eric Cantona scored that goal against Sunderland, and it was with McClure. He played the 1-2. During his later years at United, so he obviously, like I said before, became more of a squad player. So he played in midfield and in attack, and so seen it his career with us. It was wasn't a bad one, and then sort of moved into the backroom staff as well. He sort of moved on, became a coach, took a couple of jobs. He was Brian Kidd's assistant at Blackburn Rovers for a time as well. In 2001, he was appointed reserve team manager at United, and was in charge of the under-19 team that won the 2003 FA Youth Cup. A couple of players you might know were in that. Chris Eagles, now at Burnley, Kieran Richardson at Sunderland. And then, basically now, he is the sort of youth academy director, although he sort of looks after the youth players. And one of the interviews I've noted, as I'm saying, is we'll never actually produce another sort of batch of young players like the Bickhams, the Nevilles, the Giggsies, because of the way that the academy structure works these days, where you can't sign players from like miles away, like Beckham's from Essex, Giggs was at Manchester City, for example, Paul Scholes would have went to Oldham, the Neville brothers would have went to Bury, etc, etc. So he's doing not a bad job considering the circumstances he works under, but he was a fantastic player for us, and well, a legend.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net. Or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, everybody, it is nearly the end of the show, and that can only mean it is preview time. And this week, we have Portsmouth. So, we have managed to get a Portsmouth season ticket holder. We've got Mark Watson on the line. How are you doing, Mark?
Hello, yeah. Very good, thanks.
Good stuff. We shall get right into it. Portsmouth had a disastrous start to the season. Do you think you can get out of the slump that you're in? You got beat off Stoke at the weekend as well. I mean, how do you think the season's been so far? And do you think you can get out of the dire disaster that you're in?
Well, yeah. Clearly, it wasn't good summer for us. You know, it lost a lot of key players. But the performances in general hadn't been bad. It was just obviously lack of results, maybe a bit of goal-scoring power. I mean, we played well against Everton and Manchester City, your rivals, of course. We showed we could win away by beating Wolverhampton. And, you know, we beat Wigan at home 4-0. So, you know, we've only had a couple. I think second half at Blackburn, we were dire. And lost 3 goals. Sort of bad defensive errors there. But I think mainly we just lacked goal scorers.
Yeah, I mean, well, anybody can beat Wigan. They seem to be quite an easy one. What sort of effect is that this on team morale, had like losing like all those players? Like, how many did you lose? I think it was pretty much a whole side, was it not?
Well, yeah, obviously key players, sort of England internationals. We lost Glenn Johnson and Peter Crouch and Jermaine Defoe, Nico Cranchar as well. You saw yesterday, just 3 of those for Tottenham scored 7 of their 9 goals. So, you know, clearly a big loss to the team.
And, we'll look forward then. And obviously you're playing the champions at the weekend. Have you got any hope?
We have hope. You know, there's always a chance in this league, as you know. I mean, Man United obviously playing well. I think just beating Everton 3-0, haven't we? So, you know, Pompey obviously low on confidence now. After a few good results, we just slipped back a bit with a draw at Hull. I think we lost to Tottenham and, you know, some not great results. So, but, you know, there's always hope, isn't there? We need to defend well, that's for sure. I think the crowd will be up for it. They're always up for it at Fratton Park, whoever we're playing. So
that's not bad. What are your? I want to get your thoughts on, do you think Paul Hart's the man to take you forward?
I don't think anyone else could do much better, to be fair. I mean, when you lose that many players, there's only so much you can do. He's done really well to keep all the players on board thus far, so... You know, I don't think anyone else could do much better.
Yeah, so I've got to ask you another one about sort of the back sort of boardroom sort of area as well. What's the deal with the shakes and like basically investors that you've got in the club? Because they're obviously like, did you not get sold twice in a week? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, not great really. I mean, at the start of the summer, end of last season, we had this Solomon Al Fayoum bloke come in saying he's going to invest so much money. Billions of pounds, and you know, he never quite proved that he had the money. And then he's been taken over by this Ali Al-Faraj. Well, you know, obviously we're a bit sceptic about it. We're not quite sure, you know, until he proves that he's got the money and he can do it. I don't think anyone will really believe it just yet.
Yeah, well, say he has got the money, right? If you could buy any player from United, who would you choose?
Easy choice, I think, isn't it? Wayne Rooney, of course.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, you know, he just inspires the whole team, doesn't he? He's so passionate about the game, and the fans love him. I'm sure you do. So.
I do. He's a fantastic player.
His ability to change the game, you know, he's a match winner, isn't he?
Yeah, as I take it, he's the player you're going to sort of most fear at the weekend, then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Valencia as well. We're not great at left-back, and I'm sure United will know that. Valencia, the top-class player, especially down that wing.
Good stuff. And what about yourselves? Is there any players on the Portsmouth side that we should maybe take a second glance at? Maybe I think they could provide an attacking threat to us.
Yeah, there's a couple of players. I mean... Well, Boateng, he missed an awful penalty last night, but he's a fantastic player, to be honest, and he can change games as well. I think given a couple of years, he'll be a top-class player. Got Jamie O'Hara on loan from Tottenham. He's a really decent player. Again, he's quite young, though, but he has made a big difference to the Portsmouth since he's come in. Up front, been down, you know, scored a hat-trick against Wigan. Really good at holding the ball up. And, you know, he plays with Drogba for the Ivory Coast, and you know, he's a top-class player as well.
Very well. A couple of players to look out for, everybody. And before we let you go, I've got to ask you, for a prediction, what do you think the score will be at the weekend?
Oh, 1-0 Pompey. Penalty.
I'm going to disagree. I think we might get a couple of goals. Just a couple.
It'll be tough.
We've got John O'Shea. John O'Shea could do wondrous things.
That's the best player.
Yeah, he is. See, you think Wayne Rooney's the best, but no, John O'Shea, he's the one that makes the side tick. But yeah, well, we shall have to let you go because we run out of time as always. But thanks very much, Mark, for coming on the RedCafe.net podcast. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Fantastic stuff. Well, that was Mark, our Portsmouth fan for this week. But before we briefly look at the Pompey game, let's have a look at the Siktas at home first, which is coming up on Wednesday. Dan, considering we've already got that qualification, you expect Ferguson's going to make plenty of changes? Possibly see the likes of Darren Gibson, Welbeck, Makeda, or will he prefer, well, I guess, Nani? We talked about him earlier on. This is going to be a big chance for him, isn't it?
I think that Gabriel Obertan will start on the left. I think Scholes will probably get a game in the middle, maybe alongside Gibson, like you say. I'd like to see Owen start as well, possibly alongside Welbeck, but I don't think that they're ever going to start a Premier League game together. So I think to give them a chance in the Champions League, like you say, we've already qualified. I think maybe Gary Neville will get a start again as well. So I think it'll be kind of a mixture between first team and, you know, and the people on the board as well. So, I mean, I think we should beat Besiktas with reserve team. I think they're that poor. And I think it'll be a comfortable victory, really. I'm just hoping for the early goal, really, because against like CSKA, we had a bad start and we were chasing the game. I just hope that's not the case this time.
Well, that was what I was going to say. I mean, Besiktas, they come into this with a little bit of confidence. They beat Fenerbahce on the weekend and in 3-0, in fact, and that was a game they were expected to get bowled over in. So they were coming with confidence, and considering what they saw CSKA came and did, just came at us and took their chances, then they'll probably be on the front foot.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, obviously I didn't know about the result, but it's a pretty good result, to be honest. But it doesn't change my opinion of them. I think we'll still bowl them over. I think we're too strong, really. And obviously, hope to finish on top spot as well.
Okay, and Dov, we'll get your opinion on the Portsmouth game, shall we, on Saturday. Well, Mark's talked about how he thinks it's going to be a pretty tough game for United, and it's fair to say Fratton Park is a really tough place to go. But considering their form, the fact, well, they were on top against Stoke on the weekend and still didn't manage to get the win, so we should really go there full of confidence and come away with 3 points.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so. It seems to be every single away fan we speak to these days, they just, they've not got much confidence in their side, and just the way that sort of Pompey are playing. I mean, I think, well, going with the Chelsea performance, the Everton win, I think we should be 3 points. I can't see it being too a difficult game. I don't want to be too overly confident because that's always backfired with me in the past, but I just think we'll have too much time and everybody will be rested for the weekend, or from during the week as well in the Champions League. I think a lot of first team players will get rested, so I can't envisage anything other than 3 points.
Dan, you going with Dov there? Confident that we'll get the 3 points?
Yeah, I mean, Portsmouth games are always pretty tricky, though. We seem to underestimate them at times, but I think we should be winning that game, really, especially if we want to win in the league and putting pressure on Chelsea. Portsmouth not in the best run of form, but they've not been playing too badly, though, which is it's quite surprising, really. But, I mean, all it takes for them is just a big confidence boost if they beat United, but I think we're too professional for that to happen. It's a matter of taking your chances, isn't it?
Certainly is. Well, that's just about it for this week on the redcafe.net podcast. Remember, email us podcast@redcafe.net. If you haven't done so already, get signed up to the Facebook group too. And make sure you tune in for episode 17 next week. Mm-hmm.